Chapter 6. Prufrock Preparatory School is now closed. It has been closed for many years, ever since Mrs. Bass was arrested for bank robbery, and if you were to visit it now, you would find it an empty and silent place. If you walked on the lawn, you would not see any children running around, as there were the day the Baudelaires arrived. If you walked by the building containing the classrooms, you would not hear the drowning voice of Mr. Remora telling a story, and if you walked by the building containing the auditorium, you would not hear the scrapings and shriekings of Vice Principal Nero playing the violin. If you went and stood beneath the arch, looking up at the black letters spelling out the name of the school and its austere, a word which here means stern and severe, motto, you would hear nothing but the swish of the breeze through the brown and patchy grass. In short, if you went and visited Prufrock Preparatory School today, the academy would look more or less as it did when the Baudelaires woke up early the next morning and walked to the administrative building to talk to Nero about Coach Genghis. The three children were so anxious to talk to him that they got up especially early, and as they walked across the lawn it felt as if everyone else at Prufrock Prep had slipped away in the middle of the night, leaving the orphans alone amongst the tombstone-shaped buildings. It was an eerie feeling, which is why Violet and Sunny were surprised when Klaus broke the silence by laughing suddenly. "What are you snickering at?" Violet asked. "I just realized something," Klaus said. "We're going to the administrative building without an appointment. We'll have to eat our meals without silverware." "There's nothing funny about that," Violet said. "What if they serve oatmeal for breakfast? We'll have to scoop it up with our hands." "Oot," Sunny said, which meant, "Trust me, it's not that difficult." And at that, the Baudelaire sisters joined their brother in laughter. It was not funny, of course, that Nero enforced such terrible punishments, but the idea of eating oatmeal with their hands gave all three siblings the giggles. "Or fried eggs," Violet said. "What if they serve runny fried eggs?" "Or pancakes covered in syrup," Klaus said. "Soup!" Sunny shrieked, and they all broke out in laughter again. "Remember the picnic?" Violet said. "We were going to Rutabaga River for a picnic, and Father was so excited about the meal he made that he forgot to pack silverware." "Of course I remember," Klaus said. "We had to eat all that sweet and sour shrimp with our hands." "Sticky," Sunny said, holding her hands up. "It sure was," Violet agreed. "Afterward, we went to wash our hands in the river, and we found a perfect place to try the fishing rod I made." "And I picked blackberries with Mother," Klaus said. "Irus," Sunny said, which meant something like, "and I bit rocks." The children stopped laughing now as they remembered that afternoon, which hadn't been so very long ago, but felt like it had happened in the distant, distant past. After the fire, the children had known their parents were dead, of course, but it had felt like they had merely gone away somewhere and would be back before long. Now, remembering the way the sunlight had shone on the water of Rutabaga River, and the laughter of their parents as they made a mess of themselves eating sweet and sour shrimp, the picnic seemed so far away that they knew their parents were never coming back. "Maybe we'll go back there," Violet said quietly. "Maybe someday we can visit the river again and catch fish and pick blackberries." "Maybe we can," Klaus said, but the Baudelaires all knew that even if someday they went back to Rutabaga River, which they never did, by the way, that it would not be the same.